23rd Sunday, Year B, in the Ordinary Time. The first reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 35, verses 4 to 7a. Thus say the Lord, say to those who are frightened, be strong, fear not. Here is your God. He come with vindication, with divine recompense. He come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, the ear of the deaf be cleared. Then will the lame leap like a stag. Then the tongue of the mule will sing. Streams will burst forth in the desert, and rivers in the steppe. The burning sand will become pools, and the thirsty ground springs of water. Second reading from James, chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. My brethren, show no partiality as you hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man with gold rings in fine clothing come into the assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also come in, and you pay attention to the one who wear the fine clothing and say, have a seat here, please. Why you say to the poor man, stand there, or sit at my feet? Have you not make distinctions among yourselves, and become judged with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to those who love him? The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 17, verse 31 to 37. Again Jesus left the district of Tyre and went by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, into the district of the Decapolis. And people brought to him a deaf man who had a speech impediment and begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him off by himself away from the crowd. He put his finger into the man's ears and, spitting, touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven and groaned and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And immediately the man's ears were opened. His speech impediment was removed, and he spoke plainly. He ordered them not to tell anyone. But the more he ordered them not to, the more they proclaimed it. They were exceedingly astonished, and they said, he had done all things well. He made the deaf hear and the mute speak. Sharing of the reading. First, the theme. Let God liberate us from both spiritual and physical diseases. Human beings are surrounded by countless dangers, both to the soul and to the body. To the soul, there are many devils and worldly temptations which attract people to live according to their plans and to be far away from God. To the body, people must face all earthly catastrophe, such as famine, flood, volcano, hurricane, earthquake, and war. In addition to these are the all kinds of sickness, such as blind, deaf, mute, and paralyzed. When people face the dangers, they are easy to fall into the two following attitudes. First, denying God's existence. Many people question why a merciful God let the suffering happen to the innocent. If they can't find a proper answer, they shall not believe in God, and they shall follow their own living way in this world. Second, recognizing the meaning of suffering in human life. God lets suffering happen so that people may recognize the necessity of God's presence in their life and help them to love each other more. A Vietnamese adage says, if a person's eye is hurt, he shall have compassion for the blind, or he shall know how to value life. This happened to Paul when he fell from his horse on the way to Damascus. After that, he recognized his blindness, both spiritually and physically, and began his journey to life and believe in Christ. Only God can liberate people from all dangers. People need to believe and come to Him to be healed. Today readings concentrate on dangers which people must face and the manners to be healed. In the first reading, the prophet Isaiah affirmed the Israelites during their exile that God can do all. Therefore, they shouldn't be fearful and should strongly believe in God. He shall come and heal all their sickness. In the second reading, St. Paul emphasized two spiritual sins needed to be healed, which are prejudice and partiality. Christ is the one who heals people from these two diseases. In the Gospel, when people brought to Jesus a person who suffered both deaf and speech impediment and asked Jesus to heal him, He took him to a place and healed him from his sickness. Second, analysis. He himself shall come and heal you. Third point, the announcement of the good news. The historical background of this announcement is the true exile of the Israelites from the 8th to the 6th century BC. Living in the exile, the Israelites lost all of their homes, the country, the temple, and the faith in God. The prophet Isaiah foresaw the day God shall come to liberate his people from the exile. So he announced the good news for the Israelites as follows. Say to those who has frightened, be strong, fear not. Here is your God. He come with vindication, with divine recompense. He come to save you. This oracle could be applied in the following two periods. First, God liberated Israelites from the exile and let them return to reestablish their country and to rebuild the temple. This happened when Cyrus, the Persian king, obeyed God and released Israelites beginning on 538 BC. Second, the Messiah himself shall come to heal all spiritual and physical sickness of people. This was fulfilled when Christ came. Second point. What shall be happen when the Messiah come? What the prophet Isaiah described in this passage was fulfilled when Christ came. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, the ears of the deaf be cleared, then will the lame leap like a stag, then the tongue of the dumb will sing. The prophet also reminded people of God's power when he liberated people from Egypt and led them to the promised land. Streams will burst forth in the desert and rivers in the steppe. The burning sand will become pools and the thirsty ground springs of water. The abode where Jacob lurked will be a mass for the reed and papyrus. All of the above happened when Jesus healed the people from the sickness of the body, such as blind, paralyzed, mute and deaf, and from sickness of the soul, such as pride, jealousy, and hypocrisy. The second reading, show no partiality as you adhere to the faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. Third, don't have prejudice for the poor and show partiality for the rich. People often have such a tendency, but the faithful cannot be like that. Saint James advised his faithful, my brother, show no partiality as you adhere to the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. He gave them a concrete example. For if a man with gold rings on his fingers and in fine clothing come into the assembly, and a poor person in shabby clothes also come in, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say, sit here, please. Why, you say to the poor one, stand there or sit at my feet. Have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judged with evil desire? Third, prejudice. Is what a person thinks or utter without checking to see whether it is right or not. For example, if they see a person in shabby clothes, they quickly come to a conclusion that that person is poor. But they don't know that There are some people who don't want to be dependent on fashion. They want to dress simply and save money to do something which are more useful. Another example happened when some scribes and Pharisees judged Jesus only on the basis of his human origin and familial circumstances, and neglecting many of his wise teachings and wonderful miracles. It is their prejudice that confined them in their nearsighted viewpoints and prevented them from recognizing and believing in Christ. Second, partiality. Whatever they believe, they shall act according to it. Since they judge it only according to outside appearance, they highly regarded those who fashionably dressed and insulted those who wear simple clothes. In reality, many people were deceived by their judgment only on outside appearance. For example, many women chose to marry to handsome or rich or famous husbands. Later, they found out that their husbands are cunning, betraying, and using them. It is too late. In opposition, many people, though they aren't looking good on outside appearance, but hidden inside them are a generous and merciful heart. They become good husband or wife and bring happiness for their family. Second point. God loved the poor. Alagwim. To point out for his faithful to know the danger of judging only according to outside appearance, Saint James reminded the faithful the first beatitude which Jesus taught. Listen, my beloved brothers, did not God choose those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom that he promised to those who love him? First, those who are poor don't put their hope in anyone or anything, but only in God. It is their absolute belief in God that they inherit the kingdom of heaven with all the worldly inheritance cannot be compared with. Jesus taught this when he compared the kingdom of heaven as the treasure buried in a field. Second, Christ himself lived a simple life on earth. He, the Son of God, had in his hand all things in heaven and on earth, but he chose to live poorly, incarnated from the poor parent, born in a sheep cave, died nakedly on the cross, and be buried in a tomb which wasn't belong to his family. His purpose is to set a good example for us and let us become rich when we are inherit the salvation. Third, the gospel. Christ did everything good. Third point. Jesus fulfilled Isaiah prophecy. After healing the daughter of a Phoenician woman from demon because of her firm faith, Jesus came down to Galilee and entered the Decapolis region. People brought to him a deaf man who had a speech impediment and begged him to lay his hand on him. Both diseases, deaf and speech impediment, used to go together to prevent him from being sight before the crowd. Jesus took him off by himself away from the crowd. He put his finger into the man's ear and, spitting, touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven and groaned and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately the man's ears were opened, his speech impediment was removed, and he spoke plainly. In the first reading, the prophet Isaiah foretold what shall happen when the Messiah comes. Then will the eye of the blind be opened, the ear of the deaf be cleared, then will the lame leap like a stag, when the tongue of the dumb will sing. This happened many times in Jesus' public ministry. Beside that, Jesus himself also reminded people that he came to fulfill the prophet Isaiah's prophecy when he returned to Nazareth and taught in the synagogue. See Luke chapter 4, verses 16 to 21. Second point, Jesus didn't like fame and praise. Mark reported, he ordered them not to tell anyone, but the more he ordered them not to, the more they proclaimed it. They were exceedingly astonished, and they said, "He had done all things well, and he made the deaf hear and the mute speak." God created people and everything very good. See Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. But human sin turned the natural order upside down and caused many bad results and death. But God had his plan of salvation for people through Christ. He presented with God in creation and self-recovered the original order for people and the universe before he handed the kingdom in good condition back to the Father. In opposition with what right does, human beings always find ways to destroy and to extinguish. Being right disciples, we have a duty to imitate Christ to protect life, to find all possible ways to heal and to respect what God had created. Application in life. God concerned with human life. He continually and wisely controls everything in the universe, especially sent Christ to heal all spiritual and physical sickness of human beings. When facing trial and suffering, we shouldn't be afraid and lose our hope, but should firmly believe in God's providence. Only Christ, the Son of God, can liberate people from danger of both soul and body. No one can replace his role in God's plan of salvation. Imitating Christ, we must also be the protectors of life and healer of both spiritual and physical diseases for people. We can also introduce people to Christ so they can believe in Him and to be healed. Amen.